Legislation's done. We're down at sunset. Okay? What was the financial condition of the country when that law was passed? And compare it to the financial condition of the country right now. You mean to tell me that is this a one-size-fits-all piece of legislation for when it comes to taxes in America? The righties back then, when they did it in a lame duck session of the Congress, and they did it through reconciliation, they were just so damn smart, and everybody else was so stupid that, you know, this was the catch-all, man. This was going to be the perfect bill, no matter what kind of situation we ever had. This is embarrassing is what it is. It makes us all feel stupid for us to sit back and say, oh, yeah, let's extend the Bush tax cut. I don't think that we understand the severity of the economic situation that we're in right now. I don't think we understand the severity of the foreign record deficits that we have. I don't think we understand what it's like to have China keeping us afloat. There's a disconnect between average Americans, the Congress, and reality. And what the Democrats need to do is just allow this law to sunset and then go back and do some critical thinking about what is the best way for us to get our fiscal house in order. There's got to be some smart tax people at some universities in this country. There has to be. There has to be some smart business people out there that will be fair about what's going on in America.
Amen.
You gotta extend my tax cut because that was the perfect thing for all. You know, it's one cheese for one tax cent all. It's just kind of the Texas way. Look, how dumb are we to sit back and think that, you know what? Damn. They had the remedy for our economy years ago and we didn't even know it. How freaking dumb are we? I mean, this law was so awesome. It fixed every economic situation in the history of the country. The Democrats academically should be embarrassed to run around and say, I think that we need to extend what Bush did. Bush did this. And here we are, oh gosh, let's extend what Bush was thinking about. It was his proposal, was it not?
Yes.
It was Bush's idea.
Yes.
Do we have to go back and pick out the aggravating and annoying sound bites back in 2000?
It's your money. It's in your pocket. We're trying to keep it in your pocket. That's what we're trying to do. Steal all our money. If you're a big shoot, it's just all our money. We're trying to keep it in your pocket. I mean, this is insanity.
And Adam Green's going to be on the TV show tonight. The PCCC, Bernie Sanders. There's another warrior for the truth. Democrats. Head the guts in this lame duck session of the Congress. Let this bill expire. We need a majority in the House to come back and give us their solution for what they think is going to fix our economy. Let them be the ones to hang that tire around their neck. Why would we want to help them and then have to say, well, gosh, we're part of it? We are the party of fiscal responsibility. And I guarantee you, if there had not been the meltdown on Wall Street, had there not been the hole in the budget and the deficit and everything else, Barack Obama wouldn't have come out and said, hey, what do you say we throw a bunch of money at Wall Street? Because they're just good guys.
Well, he wouldn't have done that.
He was forced to do it. And so I think that if there's one thing the Democrats should do in the House, because it seems to me that that's where the guts are. The guts are in the House.
Just don't do anything. Let it expire. Force the Republicans to come back and write those new brand new tax laws and just hung up on them.
It would put almost $4 trillion into the hands of the American treasury. $4 trillion. The same amount of money they all insisted in that corporate lobby of 13 balls want to save by cutting Social Security.
Just
There's no bigger two-step, there's no bigger 180 than Senator Ted Conrad.
The soundbite we played on the show last week on Friday about his June 9th, 2002 appearance on Meet the Press, talking about the solvency of Social Security and Medicare. And now last week on Good Morning America on Friday, he's ready to serve it up as well as just a fallen soldier to the American people. And that's a shift. That's a 180.
My, what a difference 8 years made.
It really is.
Sad.
They've worn Conrad down so much, and the Tea Party is on the prairie that scares him so damn much. If he has any chance at re-election in 2012, he has to come down and he has to participate in lucky tearing down entitlement.
And where is this all coming from?
One election, one snapshot in time of a country that has had how many generations of Social Security and Medicare? But because we've got some nutshot Tea Partiers running around, and they grab a few seats, and on the heels of the worst economy since the Depression, all of a sudden we're going to cave in on our principles? All of a sudden we're going to say these programs that have helped millions of Americans for generations, we have to scrap them because of one election, one man, one time, two shifts in the House, and we're supposed to live. Forget it, bend over, say goodbye, kiss your ass goodbye, whatever. Amazing. I find it amazing. Absolutely godless. Absolutely. What do we stand for? As liberals, do we know what we stand for? So, no. I mean, where's the leadership?
Mm-hmm.
Is it coming from activist groups now who are going to be running with social talkers and wing nuts because we care about people and we think that we can get this thing done? You know, let's just go back to the old tax rate. Let's force the Republicans to write the tax law. Let's see inside their own. Let's see if they can do a better job for the middle class. Let's see if they can be fair to the rich folks. And let's force them. He won't give us his plan. Force him to come up with a plan. It's the gutsy move, but it's the right thing to do. You cannot convince me that this tax law that was written way back when is going to stand. If the Democrats can't stand on that, then I don't know what the hell they were. Well, two Tuesdays ago, the two dogs all across this country got their ass kicked by Tea Partiers. Homes of them are gone. You know who's in those? That's three members of the House Progressive Caucus lost. Three. That's it. So the people that have been out there pushing on this, pushing health care, pushing fiscal sanity, pushing back against these Tea Partiers, people came out to vote for them. Not to be involved in this, and over and give John Boehner everything he wants.
You see, I may be a lonely, circulated, libertarian examiner.
The Indian Busters and a few other conservatives.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's all over the internet.
Really?
You want to try it?
Tell me, but I meant to come on the egg show on Friday night, and I can't even go beer hug me, eat some babies without just making my ass beat out. Bam!
You want to let us come back?
No, I don't. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stop calling him the drugster until he stops making racist comments. There's nothing wrong with a conversation about decency in this country. And I'd like to know what Clear Channel's corporate position is. I'd like to know what Citadel's corporate position is. I want to know what, all of the radio companies, and there's not a whole hell of a lot of them left, what's their corporate position, if they have one, on racist comments? Because it's exactly driving Miss Nancy around. I mean, come on. And this is on the airwaves of America on publicly held stations, right?
Exactly.
These licenses are given out to work in the interest of the public. And so is it in the interest of the public to have some guy babbling out over how many thousands of stations or whatever with millions of listeners just throwing out racist comments? That's good for America? You mean to tell me we can't talk about decency in America? We can't talk about, the drugsters? Oh, sure, I'll stop using that term. As soon as he's knocked off all the races coming, he can't do it. He can't do it. He is a racist. He's been a racist his whole life. He makes no attempt to change it and doesn't view it as anything that needs to be viewed as somewhat responsible. People definitely pay attention to what talkers say. They are influenced by the vernacular. They are influenced by the pop culture. And we are sticking this in the minds of young people that, well, it's okay to refer to Jim Clyburn as being a chauffeur and a driver, Miss Nancy. It's that old Southern plantation mentality. It's kind of like, if you could beat him on healthcare, he'd be a great guy. Gosh, who said that? Racist Senator Jacob Lynch. Why can't they stop?
They can't. They cannot. And they won't. So they attack me for calling them on the conversation. Maybe we should have a decency law.
Do you tell me you guys shouldn't operate under a decency law? Is that what you're saying?
We're right back on your show for a turn of
the whole watching place is now a champion.
Yes, it's the Ed Schultz Show.
The President of the United States to tackle right after November's congressional election? How high on your list of priorities would you put the task of pulling weapons to India? It seems to be in the fall setting in Michelle Obama's White House garden when the more worthy president was producing pending military hardware. November's elections didn't go all that well for Obama, and to convince America's workaday majority that he's really working for them. Yet, the weekend after the election, his first move was to fly 8,000 miles away to try to convince the Indian government to buy $5 billion worth of military hardware from Boeing and a mess of other weaponry from Lockheed Martin and other U.S. arms dealers. Priorities aside, however, why the hell is the President of the United States of America playing Lily Roman for corporate arm talkers? Yeah, I know they claim that the selling of killing machines creates jobs, but is war and death the only product America has to hawk to the world these days? Besides, India requires that a third of the work on the planes, missiles, and other armaments it buys be farmed out to its manufacturers. Jobs there, not here. One other dicey point, India is stockpiling weaponry as part of its ever-escalating confrontation with its neighbor and bitter rival, Pakistan, a U.S. ally that our arms dealers also supply. Before American soldiers get caught in this deadly crossfire of U.S.-made weapons. This is Jim Hightower saying, pretensions aside, Obama's trip to India is not about jobs, but about fattening the bottom line of your profiteers. The arms trade is immoral. It fuels perpetual war, and the President of the United States ought not be a traveling salesman.
This is 1 minute of American history. On September 2nd, 1945, after accepting the unconditional surrender of Japan, General Douglas MacArthur broadcast a message to the American people, warning that another world war would threaten the very survival of humanity. We have had our last chance, MacArthur said. If we do not devise some greater or more equitable system, our liberty will be at our door. Speaking to the Japanese, he proclaimed his faith that they would again become a great nation. The Japanese had feared widespread retribution for the attack on Pearl Harbor and for all that had followed. Instead, MacArthur concentrated on reforming Japanese society. As supreme commander to the occupation of Japan, the general helped turn an ancient military empire into a modern democracy.
From the National Institute of Health and Affairs in Maryland, this is NIH Health Matters.
Researchers are making progress towards the goal of a universal flu vaccine.
They call it universal because it covers all of the different strains.
Or not all, at least a significant proportion of them.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
So you want a vaccine, but even though the virus changes, the vaccine still will be protected.
Scientists have recently identified a small family of lab-made proteins that neutralize a broad range of influenza A viruses.
The more new findings from the latest research on prevention and treatment of influenza, visit www.
to stop because of me. It's because of you and your great support, and I appreciate it.
Business manager Vern Thompson has made it to the Big Apple here at 30 Rock.
You got your soft tag, Tom? I got my dog. You got to throw it. He's got to hit that right there. Right there. Hit that.
Well, Vern, you're a long time political. What do the Democrats do before we go to our caller tonight? What do the Democrats do about this tax cut? So why not let it die? Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Every piece of legislation like that has a beginning and an end. If you recall, they called it a sunset. A sunset means it's going to stop, you know. And Democrats, you got to have the guts to be fiscally responsible and let those tax cuts expire. And see what happens with the new Congress. You know, the teabaggers, I can't believe how they can go out there and campaign about fiscal responsibility. And then all of a sudden, all these tax cuts are good. Oh, yeah, that's all right to give the tax cuts to the millionaires. Oh, that's okay to get the jobs overseas. Where is the accountability for fiscal responsibility?
This is a great way to make sure that it's the balls in their court.
Because if you ask them what to do, all they say is to talk about it.
You know what they're going to do. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to go right to the millionaire. That's going to be, you know, probably the same damn wall, but make them light it.
Let's go to Nick in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Your time with the Extra Show. Good Monday to you.
Greetings, Ed. You know, voting to send the tax giveaway to the rich, just like you said, is going to cost the rest of us taxpayers something like $2 trillion in deficits over the next 10 years. There's a price to be paid, and that $2 trillion in deficits will not be outweighed by any short-term economic gain that it might cause, which it's not going to cause. And I think the only reason, realistically speaking, the Democrats might compromise and give away the store and sell out is because they're running scared. Because they're running scared politically, because they lost some seats in the House and in the Senate, and they're afraid that if they don't cave in, that the big bad Republicans and the Tea Party people are going to do bad things for them. What they don't understand is that the reason that we lost those seats is just because we've been running scared for 22 months. More running scared will only create more losses in 2012. We're going to lose more in the Senate, more in the House, and we're going to lose the presidency if they don't grow into and the irony of it is it's not just about good politics. It's about good policy. Giving rich people a $2 trillion tax cut that the rest of us have to make up in a deficit and spending is insane.
Here's the deal. This is Jim DeMint, 10-11, guys. This is Jim DeMint on the extension. Here it is.
I hope we can get a permanent extension, but if the president wants to compromise on a 2 or 3 year extension, well, if that's all we need to get out of the president, then he is the president, so don't work with him on that. But I hope he doesn't come back with the idea that, oh, we're going to raise taxes on 750,000.
I've heard enough. That's nothing but a trap.
As soon as President Obama and the Democrats go along to save the rich people in their wallet and not address the fiscal insanity that we're facing,
it means the Democrats will be a part of it. I mean, that is what it comes down to. These guys think they can lead. Okay, go back to the House with your majority, and let's see your tax package, because we're going to let this thing expire. That is the absolute best play for Democrats.
Go ahead and make this a case between millionaires and middle class.
Absolutely. Perfect. No question about it.
Hit your call.
I think if they let this be extended for 2 years, what's going to wind up happening is it becomes clever, because in 2 years, by running scared, the Republicans take over the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and then they'll make it permanent.
2 years, this is going to happen in 2 years. They're going to have to extend the debt ceiling again probably several times. The jobs thing isn't going to come around because they want Obama to fail.
The tax cuts are going to be right there. They'll be able to run on that. Then there'll be a sunset coming up, and they'll beat the tar out of the Democrats on that again.
So we'd be right back to where we were in 2010. Worse off.
Good to have you on, Nick. 1-877-934-6833.
Axelrod says that he's going to be leaving. Here he is, Cut 10, talking about how there's no bid in extending a permanent tax cut.
We don't have time for it. My timing's off.
They must be in the tennis farm in Minneapolis. Cold feet.
Stay with us, folks. We're right back.
I'm Aline Anderson, and this is the Career Clinic on the American Forces Network. One of your employees has a problem with, say, alcohol. Please step in or ask that person to leave. Jeffrey Taylor is a recovering alcoholic and a successful businessman. He says that, of course, depends.
If you cut a person loose, you're possibly hurting yourself because that person may have been an extremely productive person for a long period of time. That person could be essential or key to your organization. So my father always told me you can never cut your way to success. You can never cut costs in an organization and become a millionaire. The only way you become a millionaire is to generate alternate sources and new sources of revenue.
Join me again next
time for the Career Clinic on the American Forces
Network. I'm
Aline
Anderson.
As he joined other members of the Second Continental Congress in signing the Declaration of Independence, South Carolinian Arthur Middleton resolved to see the colonies break free from British rule. Middleton was a man of wealth who had suffered greatly for his boldness. 1779, as the war moved into the south, British troops reached Middleton's beautiful home near Charleston. The Redcoats wreaked havoc on the estate. Middleton and his family barely escaped with their lives. 1 year later, Middleton was helping to defend Charleston when he was captured. He was imprisoned by the British for almost a year before a prisoner exchange took place. Signing the Declaration of Independence, boldly risked his life, his family, and his position to defend the dream of his people. The War of 1812 pitted one of the world's great naval powers against the fledgling navy of the United States. On August 19, 1812, the USS Constitution took on the HMS Harriet in one of the first and most famous naval battles of the war. The British discovered that the small but well-constructed ships of the U.S. Navy could outduel their much larger counterparts. The two warships engaged in close-range battles. The astonishment of the British, the Guerrier stock seemed to bounce off the U.S. ships. Soon the Guerrier's masts were shattered. The Constitution had prevailed. 4 months later, off the coast of Brazil, the Constitution proved itself against another of Britain's great ships, the HMS Java. Again, the British stock seemed to bounce off the hull of the Constitution, gaining her the nickname Old Ironside. The success of the USS Constitution against the Guerrier proved to be significant victory. U.S. Navy began to gain a reputation as a force to be reckoned with on the high seas.
In 1775, General George Washington took steps to provide care for the sick and wounded soldiers of the Revolutionary War. He petitioned the Second Continental Congress to establish a nursing home. The Congress responded by authorizing one nurse for every 10 patients. As medical science has advanced, so too has the nursing corps. And in 1901, the corps made the transition from being a civilian employee to being Medical Department. In April 1947, the nurses began receiving commissions as officers in the regular army. The Army Nurses Corps is recognized as the first women component of the U.S. Armed Forces. It continues to uphold its strong commitment to the military health care profession in times of peace and war.
Ed@edschultz.com. Our website, wegoted.com, and you can, of course, go on there and blog on any of our news stories. We got something coming up here about the Bush tax cut.
I just think that needs to be pointed out in a very profound manner.
What was, how many of you have even,
I haven't, have you really thought about what the
natural condition of the country was when the Bush tax cuts were passed, and we compare it to where we are now.
How can you tell me that that bill and that measure is a one-size-fits-all for the economy?
We have a totally different set of circumstances right now.
So you can't tell me that this is absolutely the best thing we can possibly do for the economy.
Clearly displeased with the initial deficit reduction recommendations offered by the Fiscal Commission,
Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, announced on Friday that he will craft and introduce his own proposals as an alternative.
Amen. The senator joins us right now on the Ed Schultz Show.
Senator Sanders, good to have you with us.
What was the, just for, what do you, what, what's your recollection of what the economy was like when we passed the Bush tax cut?
Hold on. Suggest a disastrous job creation or lack of job creation on the Bush. But I think the hypocrisy goes even deeper than that. Is here you have people ranting and raving and running for office on how serious the national debt problem is and the deficit is. And the first thing they want to do right now, as soon as we get back, and I'm at the airport now, I'll be on a plane to Washington in a few minutes. First thing they want to do is get $700 billion in tax breaks for the wealthiest 2% over a 10-year period. For millionaires, that amounts to $100,000 a year in terms of the tax breaks. Now, how does that reconcile with all of this talk about deficit reduction? The second thing they want to do is either repeal the estate tax or significantly cut back on that tax. All of those benefits go to the top 0.3%, 99.7% of each American people don't gain a nickel. The wealth in the family of Walmart, if the estate tax is repealed, gains $30 billion. Of course, it's $1 trillion over the next 10 years. And these are the guys who are talking about deficit reduction. So the hypocrisy is beyond belief. They're not talking about deficit reduction. They're talking about an ideological. For decades, these are the people who want to privatize or cut back substantially on Social Security, Medicaid. They want to cut back on education, environmental protection. And under the guise of deficit reduction, that's what they intend to do.
And to support their argument, they are using the deficit reduction recommendation as the boogeyman.
See, we can cut here. Social Security, Medicare, and they won't, this is just a ballpark, you know, sketch of an outline of where they think they can go.
That's right.
And, you know, so they're like sharks in the water. They smell the blood and they'll go after the whole damn program.
Carl Rove, whatever you may say about this, Carl Rove wants to take this country back to the 1920s. And during this campaign, you heard Bowie. Raising the age of retirement to 70, you're talking about folks who want to eliminate the minimum wage. They want to eliminate the Department of Education, which means that a public school education for working class kids would be that much harder without federal aid, harder to go to college, harder to get child care. They want to eliminate the EPA or the Department of Energy. ExxonMobil is the most profitable corporation in America. To continue. They want all of the tax breaks that go to large corporations to continue to exist. What bothers me very much about this proposal that came from Bowles and from Simpson is they really didn't take a look at the economic reality of America, which is a middle class collapsing, poverty increasing, while the people on top are doing phenomenally well. So you have over the last 20 years, the top 1% seen a huge increase in the amount of income they earn, now up to 23.5%. Meanwhile, we lose $100 billion every single year because mostly of large corporations are storing their money in the Cayman Islands and in Bermuda. Last year, ExxonMobil made $19 billion in profits. They didn't pay a nickel
specific you want to look in those kinds of areas before you attack Social Security and the loan programs for our kids who are in college.
And Senator Bernie Sanders with us here on the Ed Schultz Radio Show, independent from Vermont. You think the Deficit Reduction Commission, you think they're going to be dead on arrival of the Congress? Now, this is a conversation piece while we're having this tax debate. The tax debate is going to happen here, you know, between now and the end of the year, and something really heavy is going to come down. A decision's going to be made. You're either going to not extend them, or you're going to deep stick them. But the Deficit Reduction Commission has got to go through all kinds of hoops. I mean, in fact, this may not be implemented until President Obama's out of office.
Let's start off with the fact that what we saw last week was nothing more than a statement of the chairman and the co-chairman. And by the way, we are from the same side. Alan Simpson, you remember, is a former very conservative Republican who has long had an animus towards Social Security. He's on record time and time again that this package of Social Security is very clear about that. Why the president appointed him to be co-chair is beyond my comprehension. Harrison Bowles is also a Wall Street guy, is a Wall Street guy, a conservative Democrat. So what you saw last week is a recommendation from what you're coming from two guys. What has to happen now is 14 out of the 18 members of that bipartisan commission have got to reach an agreement. Whether that occurs or not remains to be seen. I certainly hope it doesn't. I hope it is killed, it's a ball valve and it's trapped, and that we get the serious work about how you deal with the deficit in a fair way. In a fair way, not on the backs of the middle class or the most vulnerable people in our society. And let's not forget for one second how we got to where we are right now. The reason we have a $13.7 trillion national debt. And the reason that it was doubled, almost doubled on the Bush's term, is what? We went to war two wars on Medicare. Tax breaks for the rich on Medicare. Medicare Part B prescription drug program, recently the pharmaceutical industry, Wall Street bailout on Medicare. We almost doubled the national debt on the Bush. And now the solution is, let's flag Medicare, Social Security. Let's raise the gasoline tax of a disaster in rural areas like my state by 15 cents a gallon. Let's do away with the mortgage home deduction, devastating the middle class families. So, how did we get into this situation? We got to get out of it in a fair and progressive way. We got to ask the wealthiest people in this country to start paying their fair share of taxes. We got to take a hard look at defense spending and whether or not we are maintaining weapon systems that were designed to fight the Cold War, not Al-Qaeda. And we've got to take a look at a lot of the waste that exists in government. But you do not have to balance the budget on the backs of the disappearing middle class and struggling low-income people and seniors.
Senator Bernie Sanders, finally, what are your recommendations going to be? You said Friday that you're going to craft and introduce your own proposal.
Well, what I'm doing is on Thursday, we're going to have a meeting. We've reached out to a whole lot of progressive organizations, including AFL-CIO, senior group, some of the best economists in this country, to come to my office, and we're going to begin the process. And we're going to say, yeah, we have a need for deficit reduction, and we're going to do it in a fair way. Really, what we need for that is no more tax breaks for the wealthiest people in this country. In fact, we're going to ask them to start paying their fair share of taxes. No more corporate welfare. Take a hard look at military spending.
So you're going to try to put together a coalition of pushback on that.
That's right.
Okay. I love it. Senator, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Keep up the fight, my man.
Thank you.
Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, here on the Ed Schultz Show. So, we're going to have it on our website, asking you about the tax cut. And we're going to jump on this tonight on the Ed Show on MSNBC again. We're also going to go after Darrell Issa. This guy wants President Obama impeached. Let's just cut right to the chase. He wants to have a record number of investigations. He's bloodthirsty is what he is. Politically bloodthirsty, no question about it.
He wants the scorched earth. He wants Obama out of there. He wants everything that has been accomplished out of there. And he is going to turn over every possible rock he can to find anything. Any more findings?
He was on TV last week accusing the Obama administration of political payback on the stimulus package. I mean, this guy is relentless, and he's reckless. And what I think the Democrats got to do in the House, get Jessica Sinek and let him be the hunting dog on this. Okay?
Let him get in there and get after it in that field. Because I'll tell you what, this is going to be crippling to the country. You're going to have somebody who is motivated, somebody who knows the law, someone who will watch Daryl Issa at every move he makes. And so I think Dennis Kucinich needs to be, unquestionably, the ranking member on the Government Affairs Reform Committee. And I'm sure Mr. Towns is a nice guy, but he can't do what Kucinich can do. I mean, you have got to put your best hunting dog in the field on this one. You can't get around it. This is serious stuff. I mean, this guy, Isis, says this. Have we heard anything from the ranking member or anybody on the seriousness of this is unbelievable.
You got to have the investigation before you do the presidential takedown, folks. Lots more coming up here where America comes to talk to you. Show, stay with us.
The Big Eddie Cam is on. Podcast the show for only $25 a year. And watch right now at WeGotEd.com.
Army Master Sergeant Travis Watkins of the 9th Infantry Regiment, 2nd
has been crushed by a
new
line for 3 days, along with the rest of the command of Company H. When the North Koreans were at war with
isolated 30
men of his unit, Watkins
took charge
and established a perimeter defense,
directing action against the enemy. At one point, Watkins left the perimeter,
killing 5 enemy soldiers.
During an enemy assault, while training Services.
contact such the risk. You're not interested. Bernie's not interested in having a conversation about how to do things fairly, even though y'all speak about fairness all the time.
I'm listening. I can't do anything more than listen, Dennis.
Well, let me say this. If you want to be fair with the income tax and tax of your estate tax, first of all, is immoral. You take a man who pays property taxes and income taxes and taxes to the government his whole life, and when he dies, he takes half of it. Now, that's immoral. And the progressive tax code has been set up primarily by the left in order to provide leverage for the left to keep people separated.
Where's the lie?
You've made a judgment, Billy, that you think it's immoral to have the estate tax.
I get that. You've made it.
Okay, where's the lie? Well, when Bernie says it affects the top, only the top 0.3% or 3% of people in the country got tax free, and that makes it a lie.
Give me a number.
Give me a number.
Yeah, well, yeah. He gave you a number. He said that it affects
0.3% of the top 1% of the country. So give me a number. If that's a lie, what's the answer?
Well, I can tell you this.
I am not in the top 3% or 0.3% of my family. When my dad passed away, we're going to have a huge estate tax debt after January 1st.
It depends on you may not know where you are. How much do you want? You may know. I mean, you said that a United States senator came on this show and lied, and I'm giving you time to tell him where's the lie.
The lie is in the top 0.3% or he said 3% or whatever it was he said, because I'm not even.
You don't even know what he said. He was the top. It was 0.3%
of 1%.
That's how many people were affected.
State tax. That's not true.
No, that is true. Okay, well then give me the number, Billy.
I don't know what the number is.
Goodbye, Billy. There you go. Right there. I let him hang himself. He doesn't have the number. He calls and sends you a liar. He takes out his number, then he says it's wrong, and then he starts talking about his situation. Hell, he doesn't even know how much he's worth. So how do you want to have a conversation with somebody like that? Bring something to the table, will ya?
Lots more coming up here where America comes with us. We had Joe Chill. Stay with us.
The Ed Show. 6 o'clock Eastern on MSNBC. Get it tonight.
No other option. Naval artillery and airstrikes and the enemy forces. Russians were looking west into the promise of a new life.
Well, it's
$600,000 that received clear under the Homestead Act to 80 million acres of what has been one time.
The Homestead Act accelerated the settling of the plain, attracted waves of new immigrants from overseas, and played a key role in the development of the American West.
Everything beyond $3.5 million.
Now you might think, well, gosh, that's immoral. Like Billy said, Billy's made a judgment. That's immoral.
Well, wait a minute. Who earned the money?
What is this, the Lucky Sperm Club?
It's called inherited wealth. Run one of the numbers.
Well, yeah, but you said it. Sorry about that. You told him it's less than 1% of states in America on above that $3.5 billion threshold that President Obama wants to support. So in 2010, there wasn't any 0% estate tax, and he
pushed that to the right. He's won. But wait a minute, we got a fiscal house, and he might need some help right now.
But he's got to pay for this fiscal mess that we're in. Yeah, just Steinbrenner and his family.
Now, his family, they called George.
Well, I shouldn't have done that. But that, they saved hundreds of millions of dollars.
Bingo. That's the story.
Yep. That's the story. So because someone
had the talent to make that kind of money, because you may be related to them, it's like winning the lottery.
Can you pick your parents? Can you pick the success that your parents have? This is about this. If you can't make it on $3.5 million, you need a new accountant. Or you need to change your lifestyle.
Now, here's the other thing. Land use across America, they're really twisted about this. Because some of these farmers that own 10, 20, 30, 40,000 acres, ranch land and also farmland, it's so many thousands of dollars per acre that they had up. And they say, well, how come Daddy can't give me the land?
Well, did you buy the land or did your old man buy the land?
Who paid for it?
You or him. It's inherited wealth.
And is Daddy immoral?
That's
somebody looking for a handout. There's no difference between that and picking up some food stamps.
And paying taxes is an obligation for all U.S. citizens. And when Joe Steinbrenner's family, his estate is $1.1 billion, not to pick on him, but $1.1 billion. Some of that money would be nice to get into the treasury. If you're wealthy, then you ought to pay some tax. Then you probably have to pay some tax on to you.
Wow. Maybe we should have built this bridge, this tunnel that's supposed to go between New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
This is another one of these intersection issues. We're at a crossroads. We have to decide where we want to go, where we stay saving, right or left, whatever. We're right back to you.
A county in Maryland needs you to wrap up the one murder case they just can't solve. I'm John Wood. I'll be honing in on the killer on America's Most Wanted next. Queen Anne's County, Maryland, have asked for your help before. You've come through. On October 27, 2008, your tip-top sheriff's department kept a con man named Cray Allen. Now
dropped out of his ethics trial in protest after he was denied more time to hire new lawyers. Officials are defending new anti-terrorist security procedures at the Mason Airport, but some travelers complain are overly invasive and intimate. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano.
Doing what we need to do to protect the traveling public.
This Minnesota passenger says the new full body scanner don't bother him.
5 or 10 seconds. This is a new technology where they're going to find, more things that are troublesome. By that, it doesn't bother me one bit.
Some New Jersey lawmakers want to ban full body scans now in use at Newark Liberty International Airport. Announcing a resolution today that would seek to have Congress pursue it. The screening procedure. The sheriff in Knox County, Ohio, says it is possible that three people still missing in central Ohio were killed. The comments come the day after the 13-year-old girl who disappeared along with them was rescued from the home of a man later charged with kidnapping. Sheriff David Barber has high praise for the rescue team.
I would call her the epitome of bravery.
The search for her mother, Brooke, and the family continues. The federal survey finds that close to 16% of all households in this country in 2009 were what the Agriculture Department calls food insecure.
Food insecure means being unable to provide adequate food for all family members at any given time during a year. According to the Agriculture Department's latest survey, between 17 and 17 and a half million families fit that category. And just under 6% had trouble providing enough food for family members.
Those are phenomenal numbers.
Carrie Dennison is with Feeding America.
When you really think about the impact that has on a local community and how many people are in need, it's really a critical time for our country.
The USDA says millions of people are being fed through federal programs, including school lunches and SNAP, which replaced the old food stamp program. Tim McGuire, Washington.
The debut of Sarah Palin's Alaska drew just under 5 million viewers on TLC last night, the best premiere in that network history. Sandy Cosell, 18 Radio News.